This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, hey guys, I am here with Sylvia today, and she is going to walk us through her potty training story. So Sylvia, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us how many kids you have?
Thank you. So my name is Sylvia. I live in Montreal, Canada, and I have three kids. I have a five-year-old girl, three-year-old boy, and a six-month-old daughter. I potty trained my first two kids. So my five-year-old and three-year-old were both trained using your method. I gotta say, being a mom of three is rock and roll. It's crazy. I'd always try to potty train my kids before the next baby came so that we didn't have two sizes of diapers going on and crazy things like that. So far, it's two for two. We're good. But it's been a wild ride so far.
Awesome. So how did it go with your older one?
So my daughter, who's five now, we potty trained her before she turned two. My son and my daughter are 2 years minus a day apart. So she started at 18 months, I would say, which was maybe a little younger than I would have expected to start, but she was eager and ready. She was showing the signs. She had the verbal communication in place. Like, she was interested. My mom had even offered her the toilet a few times, and she'd taken it and tried to use it and done that kind of stuff. So with her, we used your method, which was recommended by her pediatrician. It was such a simple, logical thing to do, to use for her, the tools and all the stuff in the book. It clicked. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. And with her, it was seamless. She was really, really good. We went through the first block for a day, two at most, but not even necessarily. Like, she had her pants on commando for like a few days. She was really good. She just sailed through all of the blocks, and I was happy for it, thankful for it.
So she was kind of textbook.
Yeah, she was. I mean, she had her accidents the first day. She realized, oh, like, I'm peeing on myself. Like, what's going on? And then we started, by the end of that day, she was on the potty, making it before. And actually, I never even had to use a potty with her. Because she liked the toilet so much, we just used an insert for her for the toilet, and she was very happy.
Really?
With that. Yeah, and I was pretty impressed with that too. I was like, okay, cool. So with her, I was really going with the flow, watching her cues, trying not to stress myself out, just really like going with it. And she was just great. So it wasn't challenging. It was enjoyable. It was so funny to say, but it was enjoyable. So that was my daughter's experience. And within like the 10, 14 days, she was, I mean, at daycare, she was even a superstar. Like, she was going to daycare at the time. We had kept her home those first days, about 5-6 days, we kept her home, I believe. And then after that, we sent her to daycare. At daycare, she did have to wear a pull-up because they were concerned with messes and things of that nature. But it's really true what you said in the book, how kids know, and I've said this to so many parents since then, like, what happens at daycare is what happens at daycare. And then when you get home, it's home and it's different. And they can compartmentalize like that. And they know exactly, like, okay, at daycare, I have to wear the pull up, but they still knew, like, they were still told there what to do. And she did it. She didn't last a week in the pull up. And they're like, she doesn't need it. She's good with her naps. She's good with everything. So she was like the perfect potty trainer.
Wow, that's amazing. Let me ask you this though, Sylvia. So 18 months is on the younger side of the spectrum, right? And so you said, like, you felt like she was ready. And that's a big thing I fight in my work, because I don't believe in readiness. I believe in capability. And so what made you think at 18 months, that's pretty young by today's standards?
Well, like I told you, like, she was very willing and eager. It might have been between 18 months and 24 months, to be honest, because the lines get a little blurred there with like my baby coming and all that kind of stuff. But I guarantee you by the time her brother was there, she was potty trained and the time it took was very short amount of time. And you're right. I used the wrong word. It wasn't ready. She was capable because she showed me the interest. She showed me the willingness. She showed me that she was using her words. She would start wondering like, what are you doing? She was asking questions.
So it's that interest in the bathroom. Yeah. Like when you sit down to pee, they're like lifting your butt cheek. They're like, what's happening?
Yeah. They're like, what's going on in there? Like, what are you doing? What are you tossing? So she had all those things and she's been an early talker. She was talking my ear off from before she was a year old. So her verbal communication was really there, like with the questions and the what's that and what is this and what do we do? So I just followed with that curiosity to the point where we had set aside that week to get it done and do it with her. And it was great. It was wonderful.
I like how you said follow the curiosity.
Yeah. So that story is a good story to tell and it's wonderful. But I tell that story because it kind of set me up a little bit with when it came to my son. I kind of was in like a little bit of a, oh, well, this is how it could really go. Like if it wasn't so perfect at every block.
You got a little cocky there, didn't you?
Well, you know, I always took it with a grain of salt. My daughter was very easy with us in a lot of ways. So I was always thinking to myself, the next one won't be like this. Every child is different. And no matter what, like you don't know what you're going to get until you're in it and you're growing with them and you're learning from them. And so with my son is where the story lies. And I think that the message in the story is actually one that is a really good takeaway for parents, because I forgot this. We trained him later on. So I was pregnant again with my third this time, who I had in June. So we had set ourselves up to have a big year. We had preparations for the baby coming. My daughter was about to turn 5. She's about to start kindergarten. My son really is like transitioning out of like crib life. Like he's not having it anymore. Like it's like, you know, it's time for him with that big bed. The amount of times I've had to like tell this kid to like haul ass back into the room and into the crib, it was like, it was time. So there was a lot of changes happening and there's a lot of things that I had to plan for. And so what I had tried to do is knowing like we had to plan for some time at home for him for potty training. I was trying to think when is the most appropriate time? When is it? When is it? When is it? I found Christmas, the week right before Christmas, to be the best time for me to be able to do this. He's in daycare. It's easy. I could pull him out. No problem. No worries there. So that's what we had planned. We had also planned for room changes and bed changes, like all kinds of different things that were going to be happening sometime before this baby came. So try to get everybody settled into their new normal before baby came. And, you know, we were all up in the air again until the next settling. So I tried my best to be as organized as possible. Time came. It was time to do it. I kept him home that day. From the morning, I was not feeling it. I don't know what was wrong with me. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I woke up stressed. I was like, okay, let's do this. Let's do this. And I felt like looking back on it, the thing that I was focused on the most was getting it done, like to move on to the next things that we needed to get done. Cause in my head, all this stuff is just swirling around and I got to get it all done. I got to get it all ready. Cause you know, our lives are about to change again in a few months. So I think that that was the misstep, that first thing, waking up in the morning and feeling this way, ignoring the feeling and starting the day, doing all the things, I'm watching the kid, I'm watching him, he's naked, he's all over the place. I'm like, okay, what are his cues? What is he doing? But the whole time I realized now that I wasn't paying attention to him. I was comparing him a lot to what Aria, my eldest, would do during her time training. And I was trying to be like, oh, this is the same. Oh yeah, she did this too. This might be something. And that was really working against me the entire day, because this boy did not potty train at all like his sister. And it isn't even to say that he was difficult, because he grasped this concept so quickly. It was just, I had to listen to him and I had to look at him and see what he was doing and really follow him, stop comparing him, stop thinking, stop being in my head. But that morning started so badly, and the day dominoed in that same way by the end of the day, I was pulling my hair. My husband was working from home at the time. Okay. He still is, in fact. And he had told me very specifically that week he could not be of any help to me. But by the end of that day, I was ready to like choke him out because I'm like, why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you saving me with this kid who's telling me, like, he says he's got to pee. I'm putting him on the potty. Then I take him off and he's like peeing a puddle all over the floor. Like, and then I go and I see him again and he's in a corner. Like, it was a disaster. He pooped on the floor. He peed on the floor. And of course you expect that, but I wasn't getting anything out of it. Like, I wasn't understanding what was happening. It was a mess. So by the end of that day, I looked at my husband, forget this. I just diaper him and I'm going to deal with this later. I can't deal with this now. I can't. And then that night I felt so defeated. Like I said, how could I get it so wrong when the first kid was so easy and so right? And so, you know, I was on it. I knew what to do. I'm like, I read the book again. I looked over the points again. I'm like, Jamie, what is it? What is it? And I'm
like, do you think that you honestly, you went in with like a preconceived notion? And also that, like, what struck me is when you said like, get it done. Like when we go into it, like we've got to be finished with this. I see so many parents like rush through all the phases because they're like, we've got to get this done.
Yes. And it's really, that is the worst idea to have in your mind, to have that set in your mind that you got to get it done. You got to get it done because that's actually the thing that delays you the most.
Right. Because it's like a process, right, Sylvia?
Like, yes.
Like when our kids start to walk, do we say, let's get it done? I can't wait for them to run a marathon.
No, you can't.
You're like, no. Oh, look, they fall. They're having fun. Oh, look, right?
Yeah, that's how they learn. It's unrealistic expectations that we're putting on them or putting on ourselves or putting on the whole thing. And it's just, that was the thing that really killed the day. It really did. And it might have gone completely differently had I had that different mindset. So I reflected on that the next couple of days and I was like, okay, this is really a story about how we can sabotage ourselves, not even looking at the kids sometimes, because we're so ready to blame it on the littles, you know, like, well.
It's never the kids. It's never the kids. It's always our fault.
It's always us. It's always us. And also, I was hearing throughout the time that I was, you know how you say, don't tell people you're going to potty train because then you're just going to like get all this unsolicited advice and opinions and, you know. And so everybody was telling me, oh, boys are harder to potty train. You know, they really, it's going to take you a while to do it. And I would tell them, no, I always believe that every child is different. Boy, girl, doesn't matter. It's just their character. It's their temperament. It's how they take it. It's how they absorb the information and learn. And it's at their pace. And yet those comments still got me on that day, you know.
They infect you. They go under the skin and they infect you.
And I'm like, what is it? What is it? Why am I thinking this way? So I stopped and I decided, you know what? It's most important that he's comfortable with it because obviously everything that I was going through in that day was falling on him. All that stress, all that emotional baggage that I was like hauling around all day, it was all falling all over this poor kid. And he was just like, what the heck's going on? Like from one day to the next, the couches are plastified, the carpet's rolled up, and then he's like, why is mom acting like a crazy person? It was just craziness.
I like that though. What did you just say? Like your emotional baggage spilled over onto him. And this is what I talk about with nonverbal communication, right? Like we don't intend it, but if we're totally anxious and we're a mess, that is completely going to spill over to our kids. They're going to get it, you know, and then they're going to be like, oh my God, mom's being weird. Then I should be weird. And what is this new thing that's happening? Yeah.
Yeah. It'll really mess up. Really, really mess you up. It'll really mess them up. So I decided to shelf the whole potty training. And I had another window of 1 week in about a couple of months after that, March. So a few months before his third birthday, actually. So we rescheduled it for that week. And on that morning, I woke up again. I said, okay, we're going to do it. This time, hubby was available for me, which was even better because support is always much needed and much appreciated whenever it can be given. So we tackled it. And within the first day, he was already understanding the feeling of what it meant for him to have to go pee. You know, he may have peed himself up on the floor a couple of times in the morning. And that was that. After that, we were hearing, oh, I got to pee. I got to pee, running to the potty. Oh, I got to pee. I got running to the potty.
Wow. So it was fast.
Yes, it was very fast. I was shocked. And then I sat back and I said, well, you see, this is what happens when you don't just trust yourself. You don't trust the things that you know. You don't trust the person in front of you. And instead, you're letting all these thoughts and ideas and other people's energy enter into your zone and kind of infect it that way.
I think there were three things that happened. Number one, I really love that the first time around that your husband said, I cannot be available for you, babe. I'm out. Right? Like, that's good. When you know that your partner is not available, don't do it. Like you said, you need support. So second time around, you had support. Second time around, you had a little more trust in your child. But also, when we have to reset, and sometimes kids just don't get it. They don't get it that first time around, right? Like, and you know, like, it's just a disaster. You're crying. They're crying. It's like pee everywhere. And then when you do take it up a couple of months later, it marinates. Like, everything that you taught them the first time around, it sticks. It like goes in their head. So they're like, I know what to do now, right?
That's right. That's right.
Because I want parents to feel okay that sometimes when we know it's not really working, whether it's because of your life, because you don't have support. When I tried to potty train Pascal at 18 months, I knew in 2 days, I was like, nope, this isn't working. I can't bring him to daycare. Nope. And then 22 months, it was fine. So I want parents to have that grace of like, you can try and then back off and try again.
Of course. Before reading your book, I had that preconceived idea like, okay, we'll start it. And then what if we don't finish? Like, I was afraid to pull back because then that might tell them something like, oh my goodness, like, okay, I'm not ready for this. And then that will prolong them to being ready because they feel like they can't do it or whatever the case.
Right. We don't want to feed that.
You know, but it really is not that. So even that day, like, I was so beside myself, frustrated and stressed, but I'm like, you know what? Like, I have to at least cap this somehow for my child because he just went through this whole thing all of a sudden today. And tomorrow it won't be like this because mama's taking the break and she's going to reschedule. So I had to sit him down. I said, you know what, buddy, we tried something today. It didn't work the way mommy thought it was. And that's okay. I said, you did as good of a job as you could have done. You did great today. Mommy's proud of you for trying and we'll take this up another day again. Okay. And tomorrow you get to go back to school and play with your friends. And he was like, okay, mama. And he just walked off. So I was like, okay, at least there's that.
Yeah. I like that language that you used too. That was really good language. Yeah.
Honestly, that's the biggest lesson that I got. And it was something that in your book, you do talk about, but it's so easy to forget when you're in it, you have that goal in mind and everything else just gets foggy sometimes. So it's really to give ourselves that grace and to trust ourselves. My goodness, especially us mothers, trust ourselves with that gut mama feeling. Oh man, that feeling. What an education. Just trying to hear that.
Not only just trust your gut.
And trust your kid too.
Oh yeah, trust your kid for sure.
Trust your kid too to tell you or to show you whether or not you made the right choice. You might want to hold off like we did.
I think the big lesson for me out of your experience was like, if we get so focused on the process, right? Like, we can't wait to be done. We just can't wait to be done. Mm-hmm. And like every other milestone we just treasure, you know, like there's a trajectory to this process, right? It's not done. Like, nobody potty trains in like 2 days. So if we could just like lean into that and be like, oh my goodness, oh, you had an accident. Oh my goodness, you peed on the potty. And like, not to be, I think as parents, we take it on as like, we're doing something wrong. You know, like, it's a measurement of our parenting.
Yeah. 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 And it isn't. It's like, this is how they learn. Just like they'll make mistakes in other things that they're going to do and start, you know, to understand. It's the same way. It's just a little messier and a little more inconvenient for the parents, I guess, or the adults who might like the mess a little less at times. But yeah, that's what it is.
And so you're a six-month-old, you're going to start her like in 2 months?
Yeah, basically. Basically, yeah, yeah. No, no. She will be my final potty training challenge and we got some time for that one. Yes.
Listen, Sylvia, this is what I know about third kids. Just let her go. She'll be fine. She'll catch up with everybody.
She is so smart and she's already like right there, observant, looking around, very like eyes open. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. And I'm not even worried about it. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So listen, if you had to leave our mamas with one thing, like one nugget of wisdom, what would you leave them with?
don't stress yourselves out. Enjoy your time with your little. That's a fun thing. That was one of the cool things. I was like, what? I need 4 or 5 days just with them? Okay, no problem. I start booking it off. So I really like enjoy that time because it is. Yes, you're potty training. Yes, you're doing that stuff. But it's also you connecting with your kid. And that's the most important. And that will help the process. It definitely will.
It will. Listen, have you listened to my latest podcast? So today I just released The Green
No,
Day.
I didn't yet. Yes, I will be. I will be listening to it.
Connection is everything. Whether it's at 2, 3, 4, 5, my son is 16. Connection is everything.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you, Sylvia. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time too to be talking to you. And we love your books at home. I've been recommending them to everybody I know. And it's really great work that you do, Jamie. So thank you. Thank you for always helping us out and giving us the tidbits on Instagram. And podcast is golden. I wish you great luck with all your future endeavors.
Thank you. I didn't intend on being the crap lady, but...
But you're more than just the crap. You're more than just the crap lady. You are. You really, really are. And if people haven't read your toddler book, they really should, because it's a really good one too. Really good one.
Oh, thank
yes.
you.
Yes, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
All right, Mama. As always, people, I appreciate you. I appreciate your patronage, and rock on.